Good morning. How's everybody this morning?
Very good.
How many of you are glad you're here today?
I am.
All right, great. Well, hopefully when you came in this morning, you received the bulletin, so take it out. If you are a guest with us this morning, welcome. We are so excited that you are here. Now, I don't usually introduce our guests, but I'm going to make an exception this morning because sitting in this one row right here, these distinguished-looking people, they put up with me every Tuesday morning. They are part of my Bible study at Revel, which is an independent living community in Eagle. They all stuffed inside of a van, a personal van, to be able to come this morning just to be able to worship with us today. Isn't that great? So I'm not going to call you all by name, but stand so that everybody will be able to see who you are. I am just so grateful that they have chosen to do this. This means so much to me. So we're so grateful that they are here. All right. So if you are a guest with us again, thank you so much for being with us. I hope that our service will be a blessing. If you received a bulletin, take it out. If you didn't receive a bulletin, please make sure that you grab one on the way out because there's important information for you to be able to see. Saturday morning, men's breakfast at Larry Patrick's house. There is the address. This is for all of the men who would like to come and be a part of that. So we're going to eat breakfast outside. We're getting ready to be able to do that. And so this coming Saturday, 8 a.m., if you have any questions about that, please make sure that you see me. Remember the details for the trip to Uganda. Next Sunday is the last Sunday to be able to bring items for that, and you have that in the bulletin. If you have any questions about that, ask one of the Richies. And so Carissa's over here at the piano. Kayla is up here on the stage. Jennifer's back there, back from their trip to Texas for the conference. And so we're just so glad that they are here. Remember, Daily Bread devotional books are out on the information table. In 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today, is June 9th, and we're going to be having our church family dinner, and we're going to be having a sandwich and salad theme. And so there's a sign-up sheet at the information table. So if you're going to be here, we would love to have you be able to sign up to help provide food. Also, there's no children's church today. So hopefully you grabbed a children's worship bulletin out on the information table and a zippered pouch with some coloring pencils to do during the message. So kids, if you've got one now, please wait until the message time to be able to do that. Today we're going to observe communion. That means that we're going to be taking a benevolent offering during the time of our regular offering. Now remember, this benevolent offering goes to help those in our church who might have a financial need. You don't have to feel like you have to give, but it's an opportunity for you to give, and that's above and beyond your regular giving. And so I'm excited about being here today. Are you?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I can't wait for this service to start. Can you?
It's already started.
Maybe it already started with these boring announcements. All right, well, we're going to get into the good stuff. Let's go, worship team.
Well, would you stand with me if you can? We're going to sing This Is Amazing Grace. This was requested by our own Becky.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. Then I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of Glory, the King of Glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of Glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. Then I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. Your life, then I would be set free. Whoa, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
Give the Lord a round of applause. Come on, he's worthy of our praise today. Heavenly Father, we're here for you. We are here for you. We came because we wanted to worship you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day. Lord, would you inhabit our praises and join us in this place today, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to continue this morning.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. You're rich in love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore.
That's our hope.
Forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. Lord, I'll worship Your holy name. Lord, I'll worship Your holy name.
We are here for you today. Jesus, we're here for you today. It's our desire to walk with you, ever closer, Lord, with you, to live for you, to love you, to live like you.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be.
Are going to take this morning's offering, and if you are visiting with us today, please don't feel obligated to give, but give because you want to worship our great God and our Savior Jesus.
The greatest love that anyone could ever know, that overcame the cross and grave to find my soul. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you. With all I am, I'll live to see your kingdom come. And in my heart, I pray you'd let your will be done. Till I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you. I will live to love you. I will live to bring you praise. I will live child in awe of you. You are the voice that called the universe to be. You are the whisper in my heart that speaks to me. And
till I see you face to face. And grace amazing takes me home. I'll trust in you. I'll trust in you. I will live to love you. I will live to bring you praise. I will live a child in awe of you. I will live to love you. I will live to bring you praise. I will live a child in awe of you. God of all, you alone are worthy, Lord, and with all I am, my soul will bless your name. You alone are God of all, you alone are worthy, Lord, and with all I am, my soul will bless your name. I'll bless your name. I'll bless your name. To love you, I will live to bring you praise. I will live a child in awe of you.
You know, I just think it's something special that most of these songs that we sing aren't just songs. They're not just hymns. They really are prayers. And I hope that as you join together with the worship team this morning, that you offered those as prayers to the Lord. Well, turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, unless you've been living under a rock or you've been gone out of America for a few weeks, you all understand that tomorrow is Memorial Day, a holiday. And Memorial Day is a day of remembrance, a day of remembrance for those who have died in our nation's service. Now, we've kind of, in our modern thinking, in our modern plans, we've kind of turned it into just a day of remembrance of anybody that we've known that has passed on. But really, we can trace Memorial Day's beginning back to 1868, when General John Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic declared May 30th to be a day of remembrance. Flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. The day, because of that, was originally called Decoration Day. Sometimes, and as it was when I was growing up, it was called Poppy Day, because artificial red poppies, which are made by disabled veterans, are sold. I remember as a kid going to the VFW and to the AMVETS on Memorial Day and helping to sell some of these poppies that were made. And the money was used to benefit military personnel in need. And then in December of 2000, Congress voted on and passed a resolution which asks all Americans to voluntarily and informally observe a moment of remembrance and respect, and to do this at 3 p.m. local time. So tomorrow is officially Memorial Day, but most people don't look at it as Memorial Day. Most people don't even celebrate it as Memorial Day, because most people today see it as a 3-day weekend. But for those who have lost someone because of military action, for them, it's much more than just a holiday weekend. In fact, I think that every American ought to recognize this day to honor those who gave their lives to make America what it is today, free, strong, and a nation still worth fighting for. And because many citizens have died for this country in their military service, we have certain privileges. We have the privilege to preach God's word freely, as we're going to do here this morning. We can assemble ourselves in a place such as this to be able to hear God's word, to be able to lift our voices and our hearts in song of praise and worship to him. We have the privilege to live at peace in our own homes. We have the privilege to pursue peace, prosperity, and happiness. Memorial Day is a time given to us to remembering this sobering truth. The cost of freedom is blood. Now, once a year, we observe Memorial Day. But for believers, are you ready for this? Every Sunday is Memorial Day. For believers, every Sunday we gather together in this place and we remember Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We talk about God. We talk about, as we've been studying in the book of Acts, we talk about God's mission for every single one of us. Now, in the book of Acts, we've been talking about Paul. Paul the missionary. Paul the servant. Paul the apostle. Paul, the one who God used to be able to help start churches all over the known world at that particular time. And in our study of Acts, we're into Paul's third missionary journey. We were with him on his first, we were with him on his second, and now we're with him on his third. And remember, Paul was instrumental in starting a church in a place called Corinth. And now, as he's on his third missionary journey, the pastorship of the church at Corinth has gone to this fellow named Apollos. And as we've just learned the last couple of weeks, remember, Apollos thought that he knew God's word, but he didn't quite know God's word. And remember, this loving couple, Priscilla and Aquila, took him off to the side and nurtured him and taught him and showed him the word of God. And then Apollos became a mighty, mighty pastor, and he became a mighty speaker of the truths of God's word. But this church in Corinth, remember from our study in 1st and 2nd Corinth of Corinthians, this church in Corinth had some issues, some pretty deep issues. And one of those issues was the fact that they had turned communion into something that Jesus never intended for it to be. They attached it to this thing called the love feast. Now, the love feast at the church of Corinth was kind of similar to what our church family dinner is, only they did their love feast every week. We only do ours once a month. By the way, it's usually the second Sunday of the month, unless there's a holiday, and then we change it. And so, remember, 2 weeks from today, we have church family dinner. Woo! Now, for those of you who are guests this morning, I'm going to let you in on why we call it around here church family dinner. Because most churches call it potluck. Well, most people know what potluck means, right? Everybody brings, you all pull it together, and you have a meal. Well, if you have guests and you have a potluck, the guests don't feel like they can stay. And so they leave because they didn't bring anything. But a church family dinner, right? The church family provides the dinner. And so you can just stay and join us for dinner. You see how that works? So I don't like potlucks. I like church family dinners. And so their love feast was really equal with our church family dinners. But they also did communion. They observed the Lord's Supper during their love feast. And what would happen is some of the rich people who didn't have to work so hard to gather food for the love feast, they would come early, and they would eat up not only the food from the love feast, but they would eat up the communion bread and the communion cup. And by the time the poorer people started to arrive, there would be no more food for the love feast, then there would be no more bread or cup for them to be able to participate in communion. And Paul had to write them a letter and say, whoa, this is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not what Jesus intended. Jesus gave very specific instructions as to how this was supposed to happen. So if you've turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to look at some of those instructions that Jesus gave to Paul. And Paul passed on to the church in Corinth because the church wasn't doing it correctly. So I'm going to read verses 23 through 26. You follow along as I read. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So this morning, I want us, in preparation for us to be able to celebrate communion this morning, I want us to look at several things. On Memorial Day, there are certain things that we ought to do. On Sunday, as we come to Communion Sunday, there are certain things we ought to do that kind of coincide with how we're to handle Memorial Day. So here's the first one. On Memorial Day, we mourn the loss. Now, when we remember loved ones who have died, we often tend to think of the if onlys. If only I had told him I loved him. If only I had been with her at the end. If only I hadn't spoken so harshly. You know, in all of the years of ministry, as I've been with people whose loved ones have passed on, one of the first things that they say to me is, "I wish I would have. If only I could have." I remember one of the most tragic ones was when I was pastoring in Othello, Washington. One of my deacons passed away of a heart attack on a Saturday morning. Unexpected. He was only in his late 30s. He was an orchardist in our community. And I used to go out and watch him prune the trees with his workers. And I used to watch him go back during harvest and watch him pull the apples off of the trees. And we would get together with him and his family maybe once a week, a couple times a month, to be able to play games. And I remember when I got the call that they had taken Thomas to the hospital. And just shortly after I got there, I was sitting with his wife. She just was crying uncontrollably. And the doctor came out, sat down next to her, said, "He's gone. We couldn't do anything to bring him back. He's dead." She just cried even more. And I held on to her, and she cried so much that my shirt was wringing wet with her tears. And I kept trying to say, "Karen, it's okay. We know where he is. We know that he's with Jesus." And she would say, "That's not why I'm crying." She said, "This morning before he headed out to the orchard, we had a fight. It was a terrible fight. I said a whole lot of harsh things that I should not have said. I wish the last thing that I could have told him was that I loved him. But I never told him that." There's a lot of regret with sometimes the way that we live our lives. There's a lot of regret when we know that we have to mourn the loss of a loved one. And we may play our regrets over and over and over in our minds. But we really know that those if onlys wouldn't change a thing. When we celebrate the times given to us to remember what Jesus has done for us as he went to the cross to be the Savior, we can't help but think of a big if only. If only Adam and Eve hadn't sinned. If only that sin hadn't passed on to all mankind. That's what the book of Romans tells us, that all of us are guilty of sin because of what Adam and Eve did in the decision to rebel against God, to go against God's direct instruction. If only they wouldn't have done that. If only that sin wouldn't have been passed to all of us as human beings, Jesus would not have had to die. If only. But the truth is, we are sinners. And when we come to the celebration of communion, we should stand before the mirror of our heart and lives and face the truth found in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And it's at this time that we participate together in the celebration of communion that gives us the opportunity to realize that we're the ones to blame. Our sin caused his suffering. He was humiliated, beaten, spit upon, and treated as a sinner because we are a sinner. But even while we were still sinners, the Bible tells us Jesus died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. His love is that great. And didn't we just sing about his amazing grace? Didn't we just sing about his amazing love? And so mourning the loss, I think, is the first thing we must do as we prepare ourselves to partake together in the celebration of communion. Because during communion, the first thing we partake of is broken bread. And this pictures for us the truth that it was our sin that caused the body of Jesus to be broken. On Memorial Day, we not only mourn the loss, we remember life. Part of the emotional healing in the process of grief is to remember the life of a loved one who has passed away. Since March 1st, I have been involved, or I have done 5 or 6 funerals in that short period of time. And one of the things that I try to communicate as I do those funeral services is to help people remember the loved one that has gone on before us. To try to remember the life of that loved one. This is why we have memorial services and celebrations of life. And if you had the opportunity to walk through a cemetery, just like I did just last Tuesday, as I did a funeral for a longtime resident at Valley View, you're able to look at some of the headstones, some of the gravestones. And some of the words that are put on those headstones are put there to show how we remember those loved ones. Let me share with you some of those that I've read. Gone so soon. Beloved son, though we will miss you much, we know you now rest with God. Safe in the arms of Jesus. You touched us all. Life's race well run, life's work well done, life's victory won, and now comes your eternal rest. A precious gift returned to God. Each one of these messages tells us that these people are lovingly remembered. And I remember when I was growing up and I was attending a small Baptist church back in Ohio, we had a wood communion table that sat in front of this big wood, huge pulpit. And on the communion table was inscribed these words, "Do this in remembrance of me." Once a month here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, we set aside time to remember what Jesus did for us as he went to that cross. And notice what it said in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 11. It says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So this morning, what is it that you remember? What is it that I remember? What is it that we remember about Jesus? Well, we remember his sacrificial death that made him the propitiation for our sins. Now, this descriptive word, propitiation, simply means satisfaction. It means that Jesus' death on the cross satisfied what God demanded for the sin of mankind. Your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world. And what did he require? Death. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25 says, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17 says, therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. 1 John chapter 2 verse 2 says, he is the propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 4 verse 10, in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. At the communion table, we do more than walk around a monument in grief. We remember. We remember Jesus' victory over death. We remember his resurrection. We remember the relationship that we have with a living Savior, because even though he died on that cross, even though he was buried in a tomb, 3 days later he walked out of that tomb. 40 days later he ascended into heaven, and he's there today. He's a living Savior. And then on Memorial Day, we are grateful for the sacrifice. All the heroic acts on the battlefields throughout history have made our country what it is today. We can enjoy the freedom and privileges we have as citizens, but our freedom and our luxuries have come at a great price. We enjoy freedom in America because some in our military service have died for our country. What a reminder that the cost of freedom is blood. Likewise, Jesus gave his life to set us free from the ramifications of sin. Do you realize that because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and because of the fact that we believe in him as Savior, we are free from the penalty of sin? Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How do we get to be in Christ Jesus? By believing in Jesus as Savior. And when we believe in him as Savior, we're no longer condemned because he took the condemnation upon himself of our sin as he died on that cross for us. We are free from the power of sin. Romans chapter 6 tells us we don't have to give in to sin because of what Jesus has done for us. And someday, for all of us who believe in Jesus as Savior, we will be free from the very presence of sin. Because where God is, in God's heaven, in God's dwelling place, where we will be forever and ever because of our belief in Jesus as Savior, there's no evil. There's no unrighteousness. There's no sin. I'm looking forward to that day. Aren't you? And for this, we must be eternally thankful. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 25. Jesus says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. When we partake of the cup, we give thanks for God's redemption made available to us because of what Jesus did on the cross. The cup pictures the blood of Jesus that he shed so that he could be God's propitiation for us. So today, as we celebrate communion together, let us take time to remember the broken body of Christ. When the bread is passed around and you hold it in your hand, and you wait until everyone's been served, remember that is the picture of Jesus' body broken for us. Remember the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus as you hold the cup in your hand, waiting for everyone to be served when the cup is being passed. Remember, his blood was shed for us. Remember Jesus' sacrifice. Because it is through the death of Jesus on the cross that we are redeemed. We must never forget our Savior who gave his life on a cross so that we can have life eternal in heaven. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table. And while they are coming, let me just remind you that in order to celebrate communion together with us here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, you don't have to be a regular attender. You just have to believe in Jesus as Savior.
Sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin. Messiah, Lord of
Let's remember Jesus.
His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Yeah. Jesus Messiah, name above all said Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah. In you, all the glory. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin.
Let us remember Jesus.
Stand with me if you would for our last song.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, so.